Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, November 20th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi. Here are our top stories this evening. First Lady Grace Mugabe was in Mberengwa in the Midlands province today, where she distanced herself from allegations that she's aiming for Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa's position.
Have you ever heard me standing in for the president when he is away on business? I have no ambitions to take power from him.
Organizers say preparations for the 18th International Conference on AIDS and STIs in Africa, ICASA, are on course.
We have a team that's there 24/7. They're in the process of revamping the whole place. So I would say when I'm looking at the preparations overall, we are at 98%.
And Michael Cariati updates us on the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League title race. These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. First Lady Grace Mugabe today took her Meet the People tour to Mataga Business Center in Mberengwa in the Midlands province, seeking to distance herself from allegations that she wants to usurp the powers of Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa. This follows reports that some ZANU-PF provinces led by Mashonaland West are pushing for the elevation of Mrs. Mugabe, the current Women's League boss, to the position of Vice President. Mrs. Mugabe told party supporters she actually prefers to be led by Mnangagwa, adding her aging husband suffered for Zimbabwe for years, dating back to the War of Liberation Struggle.
Have you ever heard me standing in for the president when he is away on business? I have no ambitions to take power from him. Should he get sick, the Constitution says one of the two vice presidents here will stand in.
The First Lady also took a swipe at opposition parties in the country, in particular the MDC, Tsvangirai, and former ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo, now of the People First Project. The First Lady charged that Tsvangirai's MDC is a creation of the West and would never be allowed to take over power in the country.
We got sanctions because of Morgan Tsvangirai, who advised the West they should enforce the sanctions until he takes over power. But we are going to do everything to block him from taking over that power.
Mrs. Mugabe also described Gumbo as a traitor who's moving around with cash and allegedly bribing people to join the People First outfit. Mrs. Mugabe also donated the controversial government tractors that were sourced through a loan agreement with Brazil. She also donated an assortment of foodstuffs to the people of Midlands, though some had left as they could not withstand the scorching heat. Vice Presidents Phelekezela Mpoko and Mnangagwa were also at the rally. Mrs. Mugabe was never far away from controversy, castigated women who wear miniskirts, saying they should accept blame if they were sexually abused. The meeting was not short of drama. Vice President Mpoko took exception to his name being pronounced Mboko by the ZANU-PF Acting Midlands Chair Kizito Chibamba. The Deputy President said it is offensive and dehumanizing when people fail to pronounce his name. Studio 7's Blessing Zulu reached MDCT spokesman Obet Gutu to respond to her attack on his party.
Those allegations are spurious, they are unfounded, they are malicious, they are being made by a person of very spurious mindset, and obviously they ought to be dismissed with the contempt that they rightly deserve. The MDC is a homegrown political party formed by Zimbabweans for Zimbabweans. And for Grace Mugabe to go on that kind of tirade, labeling us a foreign-created political party, it just shows the depth to which that woman can go down in terms of her lack of maturity, in terms of her lack of motherly affection and care, one might say.
Let's also talk about the issue of the tractors that the First Lady is distributing.
That is the position, Blessing. We have said that before, and let me repeat it here and now, that those tractors were actually acquired from the Federal Republic of Brazil through a government-to-government facility worth $98 million. It is a loan agreement between the two governments, i.e. the government of Zimbabwe and the government of Brazil. Those tractors are government property. The last time I checked, Grace Mugabe is not a government official. She has absolutely no legal and or constitutional mandate to distribute those tractors at ZANU-PF rallies. This is the very reason why I said a few days ago, we as the largest and most popular political party, the MDC, we have actually engaged a team of our lawyers, and as I speak, they are actually drafting the necessary legal papers to approach the Constitutional Court.
That was the spokesman of the MDCT, Obed Gutu, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu on the line from Harare. When contacted for his reaction, Rugare Gumbo first laughed off but took exception to the remarks by the First Lady that he's bribing people and that he's a traitor.
Look, Blessing, I don't think really it would be fair for me to make a comment about the thing that the First Lady made. I think it would glorify or dignify some of the unfortunate ignorance ideas about the history of the trouble and my role in Zimbabwe. So I really don't want to dignify some of the things which were said, the allegations we were saying. All I can say is that Zimbabweans are dealing with a psychiatric case which needs really solving. Not for me to say how Zimbabwe can solve it, but it is an unfortunate problem or sickness that is developed in Zimbabwe of hate speeches and so on. And I'm not going to be party to it. My concern, to be honest with you, with regard to people first, is that people are attracted to people first because of the brand that we have.
So you think because you are a perceived threat to the ruling party, that is why there are all these attacks?
Absolutely. And today, we went into the line of them in Berenga because the people from Berenga believe in me because I'm one of the first sons of that area who went for war, became member of Dare.
That was expelled ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo, now the de facto spokesman of the People First Project. He was on the line from Gweru. ...170 hostages who were seized by suspected Islamic militants at a luxury hotel in Mali today have been released after troops drawn from Mali, United States, France and United Nations keeping forces stormed the hotel frequented by foreigners. The militants are said to be linked to the terrorist group Al-Qaeda raided Radisson Blue Hotel using a vehicle with diplomatic numbers. They shot dead two people before taking the hostages. A French national is among the dead. More than 10 people in total were killed in the siege. Studio 7's Gibbs Dube reached Zimbabwe's ambassador to Senegal, Trudy Stevenson, who's also in charge of Mali.
Obviously, we are concerned, but also there have been many attacks since the coup d'etat in Mali in 2012, which you may recall, which was initially led by the Tuareg breakaway group from the north, and then other Islamic groups joined them and the whole situation became very confused. It was calmed down a bit by the French intervention initially, and but there have been sporadic attacks ever since 2012. And so, in a way, it's not surprising.
Let's talk about Zimbabweans in Mali.
Well, there will be some, of course. There are some Zimbabweans all over the world, particularly since, you know, the events of 2000 and so on. We have a very big diaspora. Probably they'll be in the mining sector or something like that. There may be some in the security forces. I'm not aware. There may be business people there. I personally don't know how many Zimbabweans, and of course there would be tourists anyway, so people may be passing through Mali. We have not been contacted by anyone in Mali seeking our assistance, unlike when the coup d'etat happened. Our very Minister of Foreign Affairs was right there in the hotel. I don't think it was the Radisson, it was not. But Minister Mbegegri and his delegation were in Mali.
That was Trudy Stevenson, Zimbabwe's ambassador to Senegal, speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Dakar, Senegal. Denzel Dube, an accountant with Radisson Blue Hotels, tells Studio 7 workers are devastated about the hotel attack in Mali.
I'm also affected because the image of the hotel has been affected. It's a little bit difficult, Mr. Dube. As you know, the West African countries, it's mostly the ISIS. It might be part of that, the terrorist group. I'm not quite sure about it. To me, it looks like a terror attack.
Mr. Dube, are there any Zimbabweans that are affected?
It can be possible because the Zimbabwean people, they're all over the world. So you can find out there's one or two people who's affected there.
And so, in most cases, when you are in such hotels, is there any kind of security measures that you go through? Like, let's say, you are trained how to, you know, run away from such scenarios?
Actually, when you work for the hotel industry, you're always trained. And the security at the hotel industry is always strict. I'm not sure how did these guys manage to sneak in the hotel. As far as I'm concerned, actually, they went through the basement. And I think the reason why the guys, the security, let them in is because they were driving a diplomatic car. So normally the diplomatic cars, they are respected cars.
That was Denzel Dube, an accountant with Radisson Blue Hotels, speaking with Studio 7 from Johannesburg, South Africa. Preparations for the 18th International Conference on AIDS and STIs in Africa, ICASA, are on course, according to organizers. ICASA Communications Manager Tariro Makanga Chikumbirike says they are expecting more than 5,000 delegates from over 70 countries. The conference, whose theme is AIDS in post-2015, linking leadership, science and human rights, is expected to run from November 29th to December 4th, 2015 in Harare. Makanga Chikumbirike tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri that Cameroon's international soccer star Samuel Eto'o is one of the top guests expected at the conference.
Preparations for the upcoming ICASA conference are at an advanced stage now. The main venue, which is the Harare International Conference Center, is going through a facelift at the moment. We have a team that's there 24-7. They're in the process of revamping the whole place. So I would say when I'm looking at the preparations overall, we are 98%. And when we go on to the program, the whole ICASA program, all the presenters have confirmed coming. We actually have an overflow because there were some where we were coming up with plan B, thinking that some might not be able to come. So we had the plan B and the plan A both confirming. So we are actually oversubscribed.
What hurdles have you been facing?
People know that ICASA is a biennial conference. It's awarded to countries to plan for over a period of 2 years. But for Zimbabwe, we only had 4 months. So that in itself became a hurdle where we needed really to ensure that we put up everyone together. We had received cabinet authority to say the government of Zimbabwe was going to support that. And with the resources that are required, there was that challenge that we initially had where the resources were not there. But because everybody came together and worked together, government eventually availed the resources that were required.
How many people are you expecting to attend this conference?
Looking at the numbers of people who have registered, local delegates, we are not expecting anything less than 5,000.
That was ICASA Communications Manager Tariro Makanga Chikumbirike on the line from Harare with Studio 7 reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up, over 600 Maswingo villagers resist government efforts to move them to pave way for a multi-million dollar shine cement project. But first, a look at regional and international news. Israeli spy Jonathan Pollard was released on parole today after spending 30 years in a U.S. jail, according to Israel's prime minister. Pollard, a former U.S. Navy Investigative Service civilian analyst, was sentenced to life in prison in 1987 after pleading guilty to selling classified defense documents to Israel. U.S. President Barack Obama is in Malaysia for a gathering of regional leaders expected to focus on economic issues, terrorism, and territorial disputes. Obama, who arrived in Kuala Lumpur today, is joining the leaders of the 10 member nations of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, and other world leaders at the second of a pair of annual summits. And Turkey says its forces are on the verge of a major joint military operation with the United States against Islamic State. Turkey's allies have accused it of not doing enough in the battle against ISIS, but Ankara continues to have differences with its Western allies over how to fight the jihadist group. A Chitungwiza couple is desperate for help to send their child for heart surgery. The 7-month-old baby, who was recently discharged from Parirenyatwa Hospital, is surviving courtesy of an oxygen tank at the couple's in-laws in Chitungwiza.
Every 3 days, the parents of Taropa Fadzwa fork out $30 to refill the oxygen tank, rented from Boko Gases, which has become the lifeline for their child. Both parents are trained nurses who are in their late 20s. The husband, Tafadzwa Mandere, works at Bechnaf Bridge Hospital, while his wife, Priti, is yet to secure a job. Their ailing son was diagnosed with Down syndrome at the age of 4. Down syndrome is a condition in which extra genetic material causes delays in the mental and physical development of a child. Taropa Fadzwa cannot sit or crawl. Priti says her husband was shocked 2 months ago when she broke the news to him that their son had been diagnosed with a congenital heart defect.
It is said that the baby has got 3 congenital abnormalities, which means that the baby has got 3 walls which were supposed to be closed whilst the baby was still in utero, but it failed.
Priti spent 2 months at Parirenyatwa Hospital in Harare while doctors carried out tests, and as she waited for donations from well-wishers so that her child could have open-heart surgery in South Africa or India. $20,000 is required to carry out the operation outside the country. Priti says this is a difficult problem for them.
At the moment, the doctors, they are saying the blood within the heart is mixing, that is carbon dioxide and oxygen, which results in difficulties in breathing of the baby. And also the baby is not growing, is not gaining weight.
Pretty's sister-in-law, Rumbidzai Mandere, says being at home while Pretty was admitted together with the child was not easy.
Watching a kid like that in such a situation throughout the night on your own, and sometimes she would call to say the kid is not responding, she's getting worse during the night. The situation, it wasn't good because they were sleeping under the beds. Food, sometimes you wouldn't have money to bring food for the transport to go and see them.
2 weeks ago, Pretty and her baby were discharged since the hospital had no capacity to carry out the operation. The search for well-wishers is still on. Pretty says having the baby constantly on oxygen is challenging.
The oxygen itself needs refilling after every 3 days, which needs money also and transport to carry the tank for refilling. So we have to hire someone to carry the tank, and we also have to find money, about $30 after every 3 days for refilling of the tank.
Apart from the oxygen refilling, Taropa Fazgwa's parents have to hire someone for $20 to transport the tank. Pretty's father-in-law, Enigrey Mandere, recounts the problems he has endured in his efforts to save the life of his grandson.
The shock of my life came when my daughter-in-law told me that the gas had finished. I had no money. I had nowhere to get the transport to get the gas from the heavy industry. It's a commodity that cannot be found anywhere. It's only found at a particular place. It's $20. That is fuel only to go to get the gas.
Fortunately for Enigrey, his neighbor has been supportive in providing money and transport. In addition to the oxygen expenses, the mother spends $20 every 3 days on medications for Taropa Fazwa. Since last month, Harare has been experiencing intense heat, with daytime temperatures rising to 37 degrees Celsius, the highest in history. Despite the heat, Taropa Fazwa should be kept indoors, and at night, windows should be kept closed to keep out mosquitoes. The family cannot use insecticides because they can affect the child. Chitungwiza is mosquito-infested, and in spite of all precautions, Taropa Fazgwa has insect bites all over the body. Friends and relatives come over to visit mother and child. However, Pretty says some of the visitors come with bad intentions.
As a mother, at times I get offended on how people comment on our baby. Some can just say this is an evil spirit, and most of them, they continue saying this is an evil spirit, the baby is an evil spirit.
Efforts to get a comment from the health minister, David Parerenyatwa, were futile. Many are asking why the hospital discharged Taropa Fazwa when the family has no capacity to provide quality care. Many say Taropa Fazwa needs constant monitoring in a hospital setting. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, A.M. Safari Njema.
And in sports news, the Castellaga Premier Soccer League's title race has assumed new dimensions with only 2 games to go. Reporter Michael Cariati tells us how.
Dynamos have come back into contention after the two leading teams, Chicken Inn and FC Platinum, started to draws in midweek matches. Dynamos are now only 2 points behind second-placed FC Platinum and 4 points behind overall leaders Chicken Inn. Should they win their game against Chapung over the weekend and FC Platinum lose, Dynamos will move into second position. Dynamo supporter Tishaona Mkere says it is not over until it is over.
No, I don't doubt Dynamos. We can just draw points near the touch line, but we can win in the length of the hour.
However, soccer analyst Farai Manunure thinks this weekend's games will decide who will take the league title and who will be relegated to Division 1.
The games are quite very interesting and very tricky in the sense that the teams do not want to miss. Some are fighting for relegation, some are actually fighting in the top four, and with three teams are being part of the title race.
The games lined up for the weekend are as follows. FC Platinum versus the Green Machine of Capes United at Mandava. Dynamos are at home to Chapungu. Harare City play leaders Chicken Inn. ZPC Caribas Katuruturu are at home to Wange. Haumain play relegated Longoso Mills. Wawa, also relegated, are at home to Flame Lily. Triangle play host to Buffaloes. Manunure thinks the Dynamos era is over and says the title will go to the Gamecocks of the Chicken Inn.
I'm peeping Chicken Inn to come very strong, because already what they only need is to win their only match against the RR City, and I can see them doing so.
The Premier Soccer League have devised their fixtures to make sure that they are concluded before December 5, when the Castle Soccer Star of the Year selection is to be held. Ironically, it is the same day when the Zifa presidential elections are to be staged. Harare businessman Philip Chiangwa is up against South Africa-based businessman Trevor Kiawasiju, as well as Leslie Gwindi and 1984 Soccer Star of the Year James Takavada. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Thanks, Michael. Earlier on, we gave you a story on the Chitungwiza couple who is desperately looking for help to send their child for heart surgery, and the child is surviving courtesy of an oxygen tank at the couple's in-laws' home in Chitungwiza. If you want to help, please go to our website www.voazimbabwe.com. The website again, www.voazimbabwe.com. Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will talk and lead discussions about First Lady Grace Mugabe's rallies. To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318. That number again, 001-202-465-0318, so that we can call you back from our studios. Go out with some nice rubber-dub style reggae music there from Ja Praiser. And before I go, a quick recap of today's top stories. First Lady Grace Mugabe was in Mberengwa in the Midlands province today, where she distanced herself from allegations that she may be aiming for Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa's position. And organizers say preparations for the 18th International Conference on AIDS and STIs in Africa, ICASA, are on course. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Ndunga Milinkomo. This is Chris Gande in Washington wishing you a pleasant evening and a very restful weekend. Good night, Zimbabwe.